This morning, please take your Bible, open to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5, verse number 13. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. We'll spend all of our time this morning right here in this chapter and with this verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. I want to read that verse one more time. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for meeting with us this morning. You promised us in your word that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so we are believing that you are here with us. And we know the Holy Spirit is here, and we know that the Word of God is here, and we know that other believers are here. And we have gathered together in your name, and we want very much to hear from you today. So please speak to our hearts, and then help us to follow through with what you show us and tell us. And we'll thank you for what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I'm going to focus on verse 13. And just, here's the title, The Salt of the Earth. The Salt of the Earth. I think most of us are aware of the fact that salt is very precious to all of life. There are a lot of ways in which salt has an influence in our lives each and every day. In fact, I thought about this immediately when I read the verse this week preparing for this morning. Our bodies must maintain a delicate balance of different chemicals and minerals and so forth. And one of those that's very important is salt or sodium. If there's too much, that's a problem. If there's too little, that's also a problem. Just the right amount is going to help us to live life and be able to enjoy life and be able to think and reason and function like God intended us to. We need some sodium each and every day. And there's others here in the room know exactly what I'm talking about. Since I had my heart attack and my heart surgery, they want me to be on a low sodium diet, of course. But you have to watch that too, because you get too low, then you're going to have other issues to have to deal with. So to try to maintain the proper balance is kind of tricky sometimes. Too much, of course, is not good. They showed us and sent us home with literature how to read labels. I hate reading labels. Excuse me, got a little tickle in my throat. But I hate reading labels. And so I like it when it's something that you can see right on the outside of the package that tells you it's low sodium. I'm kind of simple that way and makes it easier for me, you know. By the way, there are some low sodium soups that are very, very good. You have to be careful about a lot of the soups out there because they contain a lot of sodium. Amen, Tim? But sodium is very, very important and a very necessary element to the human body. And, of course, too much is not good and too little is not good. Let me tell you this, and I'll get off the sodium thing there for the body. Recently, we went to, and I know you're gonna think, how does that all fit into a low sodium diet, but my wife and I went to Pizza Ranch in Sun Prairie. And this is the truth when I tell you this. I tried to stay away from pizza and the fried chicken. Excuse me, I had a little. And I did not eat the skin of the chicken, you know, that's supposedly bad for you. But I tried to eat, you know, more vegetables and, you know, fruits and mashed potatoes and things like that. Not loaded potatoes, but anyway, I got a little scoop because I like their dressing. I got a little scoop of their dressing. And for whatever reason, the person that made the dressing didn't follow directions. It was the worst dressing I've ever had in my whole life. And the one thing you could taste above everything else was salt. It is as if they took a whole 5-pound bag of salt and poured it in the mix. Needless to say, I did not get a second helping. It was just a small little portion, you know, but too much is not good. Too little is not good. It's something that's very important, and you need it so that your body can function properly. Did you know that the world needs salt in Christians as we live our lives here in this world? God needs us to be salt in this world. In fact, it says here, ye are the salt of the earth. Christians every day are supposed to live in such a way that the world can sense, now watch, not too much and not too little, but the world can sense our saltiness. The world may not realize it, but they need us. We know our Lord needs us. He told us that. But the world may not realize how much they need folks like you and I. We are to be in this world as God's representative to the rest of the world, and we have different functions, of course, and we'll talk about that a little bit today. But Jesus actually, I don't know if you ever thought about it this way, in verse 13, when he said, ye are the salt of the earth, he paid us a great compliment. Amen. Ye are the salt of the earth. It doesn't say I want you to be, or I hope you will be, or my plan for you is. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. That's a great compliment to each and every one of us. And it shows us again that the Lord wants us to be in this world as salty Christians, being an influence in this world and in this society in which we live. So I want to talk with you about this verse, and notice it one more time, if you would. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. My first thought this morning is this. All that we're talking about this morning as far as being a salty Christian, it's all a matter of character. It's all a matter of character. Notice again, Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. There's no guesswork. There's no, I hope you will be. There's no, can I talk you into doing this? It's a statement of fact. And it is a matter of you and I living out the Christian life. It's a matter of our character being what it ought to be. It's a statement of fact. It's also a statement of importance. Ye are the salt of the earth. By the way, if we're not going to be salty, again, now, not too much and not too little, but if you and I are not going to be salty, who will be? It's up to us. It's an important thought for each one of us to consider. Every believer in this world, not just in this room, but every believer in this world needs to realize how very important they are to this world in which we live. Ye are the salt of the earth. You think about when Jesus said that to his disciples, there were not as many people in the world as there are today, of course. But he was telling his 12 disciples, ye are the salt of the earth. I'm expecting you to be that for me. I'm expecting you to represent me to the rest of the world. You are needed by me, but you are also needed by this world. This world will not exist without you. This world cannot exist without you. You're needed by both me and also by the world. It's a statement of fact. It's a statement of importance. Listen, it's a statement of challenge. Ye are the salt of the earth. God is telling us here his desire for us. His desire is that we be the salt of the earth. It's a challenge. Will you take up the challenge? Or will you just blend in with everybody else? The challenge is to be different. The challenge is, like Peter mentioned it this way, it's kind of a strange way to put it, but ye are a peculiar people. See, we're not supposed to blend in. We're supposed to be, you'll have to take this in the right way, but we're supposed to be noticed. Of course, in a good way. Again, not too salty, not salty enough, but right there in the middle, we're supposed to be noticed. People should know that we're different. Listen, when you go to a restaurant, people should notice that you prayed over your meal. Now, you don't have to broadcast it. You know, you don't have to stand up and say, everybody bow your heads, close your eyes, I'm going to pray. Wouldn't that shock folks if we did? But, you know, you don't have to do that. By the way, nor should you drop your napkin on the floor and say, dear Lord, bless the food. No, but, you know, just quietly bow your head and pray and ask God's blessing on it. Nothing wrong with doing that. By the way, people will notice that. People will be influenced by that. And it's such a small thing, but yet it's an important thing. We should be noticed. How we live, how we behave, how we react, how we handle situations that come up. People should notice a difference in us because we are the salt of the earth. See? It's a matter of character. It's you and I living out the Christian life in such a way that people can openly see that we're different. We don't just blend in. We are different. And we are actually following a different set of guidelines and instructions and so forth because it's from our God and our Savior. And we're trying our best to live in a way that honors Him and pleases Him. Hopefully all that we say and all that we do in a good way points back to our Savior. So it's a matter of character. Notice the verse again. Ye are the salt of the earth. It's a matter not only of character, it's a matter of conduct. Salt was for many years, I don't know if there are places in the world that this still happens, but salt was used for many years to preserve meats and things like that. You know, that's one of the things they would do. They would rub it into the meat and it would serve as a preservative. And it's one of the chosen means to preserve a lot of things. This should tell us a little bit about why our Lord has us here. All of us, I think, who are believers and trying to follow God's word, and especially if you've lived a while on this earth, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This world is going in the wrong direction. I'm just speaking about society in general. There's so many things that happen in the world today that never used to happen. Things on television, you know, advertisements, programming, things on the radio, things in music. There's a lot of music today that's so corrupt and violent and evil and wicked. So much just in our society in general. I mean, the things that are happening. And just recently, you know, you probably saw this, but over the Capitol there in Madison, they raised the flag for the transgender type folks. And I looked at my wife and she looked at me and I said, I wonder if they'd raise the Christian flag one day. I wouldn't hold your breath waiting for that to happen. But see, that's our world today. That's who they are. That's how they think. That's the reasoning that they have. You know, it's just everybody can just do whatever you want and it really doesn't matter. And who am I to say somebody can't do something? And I would say this, God has a right to tell us who can't do something. And I hope you understand, I don't hate any of those folks, but the things that God is against, I should be against. There's so much that's in the world that's really evil and wicked and sinful that God speaks strongly about. But in the world in general, because they don't have the same Savior that we have, they don't know Him, they don't love Him, they don't follow His word, these things just go on and on and on and on and on. Touch on one other thing real quick. I'm really glad that our Supreme Court made a decision about boys being in girls' locker rooms. Amen. And boys being in girls' sports. You know, I just believe that boys should be involved against boys and girls should be involved against girls. And I think boys should be in their own locker room and girls should be in their own locker room. And never the twain should meet. Boy, you're really old-fashioned. So is my Savior. I am the Lord, I change not. But see, salt, one of the things it does is preserves. And that's why people like you and I need to live our lives in such a way that our conduct and our speech and our behavior speaks up for what's right and shows others what's right and wrong. I'm not saying we force our morality on others. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that we speak up for what's right and we stand up for what's right. And when given the opportunity, we do our best to show people what is right and what is wrong. The whole world, the Bible says this, doesn't it? The whole world lieth in darkness. Now, we'll talk about this next Sunday, but we're also not only the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. So if the whole world lieth in darkness, guess what part of the Christian's responsibility is? To show the light. This is the way, walk ye in it. This is what God wants you to do. Salt helps to preserve. Salt also, by the way, gives flavor to what it touches. I mentioned before the dressing, you know, at the restaurant and how salty it was. If you took it to the other extreme and there was no salt in it, that wouldn't be good either. I don't know about you, but I like some salt. You know, on my meat, on my potatoes, in my vegetables. How about popcorn? You ever have popcorn without salt? Some salt is good, isn't it? And it does. It adds flavor to what we eat. And those foods, all of them that I mentioned and probably others, if you don't have salt to add to it, I'm speaking, you know, in moderation, of course, then it's generally very, very bland. And people really don't want that either. So you can have way too much or you can have way too little. How about let's strike a balance here? Salt preserves. Salt adds flavor. And both of these things, by the way, should tell us something about why the Lord has us here. You know, why didn't he save us and then take us home to heaven? Because we have a purpose. And part of that purpose is to be salt. He wants our conduct and our behavior and our character to help to prevent the spread of corruption. By the way, did you know that one day the Lord's going to take all the Christians off the earth? It's called the rapture. And do you know what happens next or shortly thereafter? All hell breaks loose. Really? Because the devil has his way through the Antichrist, and everything that can go wrong does go wrong. Now, the world won't think so at first, but as far as godliness is concerned, I mean, the devil's just going to have his way. And all the restrictions are off. The restricting power of the Holy Spirit is gone because all the Christians are taken off the earth. We're here right now as a preservative, and we help to keep things in right order. But when all of us are gone, this world's going to go to hell in a handbasket. Really? Honest. I mean, besides the fact that God's going to pour out his wrath on the earth, our conduct and our character should be such that we help to prevent the spread of corruption in our society. Our conduct and our character should also help to give this world a proper flavor. Now, I don't know what you think, but this is my opinion. Like much of my messages are, but my opinion is the world was a lot better when the Christians had more influence than they do today. My opinion. The world was a lot better when the Christians had more influence than they do today. So, I'm glad I'm not going to be here when the Antichrist takes over. Jesus said here in verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Number one, it's a matter of character. Number two, it's a matter of conduct. Get this one, would you? Number three, it's a matter of contact. It's a matter of contact. Naturally, again, you'll have to hear this all the way through. We, to be effective, must have contact with the world. If we're going to be effective for our Savior, we must have some level of contact with the world. Think about salt. If you have it on the table, but it stays in its shaker, is it going to do any good to the food? Of course not, because it's in its shaker. Sometimes what happens with believers is we just stay in our own little corner and we never really get out there in the world and interact with others and, you know, build friendships and relationships and so we never have any influence on anybody. But we're good Christians. Well, I'm all for us being good Christians, but we need to have influence on this world too. We need to speak with others. We need to interact with others. We need to rub shoulders with others. No, they don't necessarily have to be our closest and best friends, but if we stay in our own little shaker only, what influence can we have? Our Lord has left us here on this earth in order that we might have some contact with unbelievers in order to have a positive impact on them. Notice he said, ye are the salt of the earth. Not the salt of the shaker, the salt of the earth. You have to be out there. You have to be mingling. You have to have some influence and have some level of contact with unbelievers so that you can have a positive impact on their life. If we only remain in our own little shaker because we're afraid their influence on us will change us too much, then we'll never have that positive impact on others. It's a matter of contact. We're going to have contact with the world and unbelievers. Secondly, we're also going to have some contact, we have to have this, with one another. Because that contact with one another helps each other to stand strong. It's a reassurance. It's an encouragement to stand strong for your Lord. We're going to have a much more positive impact if we continually have contact with one another. Think about this concerning the contact with one another. You've got some salt, and you take one grain of that salt and put it on your mashed potatoes. How much is that going to help? But if you take many grains of salt, again, not too much, but many grains of salt, put that on your potatoes, how much is that going to help? A lot, right? So contact with other believers is very important. We can have a lot better impact on others if we do it together. A Christian all by themselves isn't going to have nearly the impact as many Christians together working on a project. Now, we didn't do it last year, and because of the lack of a director, we're not doing it this year, but many of you remember that yearly, Access Women's Center had the Walk for Life, and most years we would march from the Access Women's Center headquarters all the way up East Washington into the Capitol. And we'd get a permit to do this, of course. We would gather around the first floor rotunda, and we'd sing songs together, and somebody would give a Bible challenge, and then we'd pray out loud. And most every year that we did this, we were well received, and people would stop, people that were there visiting. Normally on a Saturday, this was, on a Saturday morning, people would stop who were visiting the Capitol just to listen to the songs that were sung and the message that was brought. Many times we had people clap for us. Together, having contact with one another and with the unbelieving world, God could use that testimony, see? And many times we'd have people, every once in a while there'd be some person who didn't like what we were doing, and maybe they'd shout out some expletive or whatever. But that was very few. Many times we'd have people tell us, thank you for doing that. I'm with you. I also am pro-life. See, our influence is important. And we can have much more impact together than we can separately. So we must have contact with the unbelieving world. We also need to have contact with one another. And then this is really important, friend. We must have regular contact with our Lord. You and I lose our influence when we're not in close contact with our Lord. He is the reason we can be salty. I don't have salt in myself. If I'm left to myself, I'm not very salty. But as I spend more and more time with my Savior, the saltiness is there. And the influence on others can be there. So while we all need the combined efforts of many believers in order to have an impact on this unbelieving world, one of the most important influences that we can have and one of the most important contacts we can have is with our Savior. That's why you and I are encouraged on a regular basis to be in our Bible, to be reading it, studying it, memorizing it, to be in church, to be talking with God in prayer. I mean, all these things help to keep that saltiness within us alive. Our relationship with God is so very important. So as we think about this verse again, please notice it. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now notice the next word, but. But if the salt have lost his savor, please notice it doesn't say savior, because you never lose your savior, right? Once you're saved, you're always saved. You never lose your savior. But if the salt have lost his savor, that means you've lost your saltiness. You've lost, really, the reason why you're here. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's a good question. How do you salt salt? But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Please notice, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. So we have this morning a matter of character, a matter of conduct, a matter of contact, and then here's a matter of caution. A matter of caution. But if the salt have lost his savor. Some of us remember the name Jim Baker. Some of us remember the name Jimmy Swaggart. I could give you other examples. I'll just stop with those two. By the way, those types of things are still happening today. Even in independent Baptist ranks. In fact, any church rank, it doesn't matter what denomination or flavor you're thinking of, it's happening everywhere. This is why I say to you often, I want to finish well. It's not enough to start well or do well in the middle of your life. I want to finish well. I want to come across the finish line with our Lord saying, you know what, I'm proud of you, son. You did all that I wanted you to do and you did it well. I'm longing to have that happen in my life, and I'm working hard at that. But you notice here the Bible says, but if the salt have lost his savor. So we remember names like Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart. And did you know that they're still both preaching? Anyway, we'll let that be. When things like that happen, that person loses their saltiness. They lose a big portion of their influence. They really bring reproach upon the cause of Christ. They really bring bad thoughts about the cause of Christ. They really do a great disservice to the cause of Christ. Why? Because they lost their saltiness. So there's a caution here. But if the salt have lost his savor, Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. And isn't that exactly what they do? Because it goes in all the papers and on the internet and everywhere and anywhere what this person was involved in. And what a tragedy that was. And even though I can almost, you know, hear the giggles behind the scenes as they type all this out, the lost is happy when that happens. The devil is happy when that happens. We all need to know this. By the way, not just those in ministry, but we all need to know this, that there is a very present danger. And the very present danger is that the salt can lose its savor. That's why it says, but if the salt have lost its savor. And once lost, the savor cannot be restored. The salt is then good for nothing. It's cast out and trodden under the feet of men. So there's a very present danger. I'm sure you feel just like I feel. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to me. Listen, not that I have ever had any great influence, but I sure don't want to lose what little influence I have because of some silly, stupid choice I made or some behavior I got wrapped up in. There's a very present danger here. So Jesus gives a caution, and the caution is not to lose your savor. Once you lose your savor, you've lost your usefulness. Once you lose your savor, you've lost your battle with the rest of the world. Once you've lost your savor, the conditions in the world worsen. At least in your little corner of the world, you know, your sphere of influence, you've lost that. And the conditions there worsen. And the program of God is damaged and greatly limited. So the caution is, be aware of that. Know that there's a present danger. Stay close to the Lord. Stay close with other believers. Watch out against the subtle tricks of the enemy, the devil. Be aware. You know, the Bible warns us about that, doesn't it? And tells us how subtle and crafty and devilish the devil is. He really doesn't care who he uses to trip you up or me up. He really doesn't care what circumstances or what individual he uses. He just wants to see us fall. He wants to see our testimony destroyed. We need to take that very seriously. And we need to be on guard. Isn't that why our Lord told us in the Old Testament, I think this is, to guard our heart? For out of it are the issues of life. To guard our heart. Now, when we think about this verse again, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. I said again, it's a matter of character, conduct, contact, and caution. I want to close with three questions. Three questions, real quick. Number one, how does your life taste to you? Remember the dressing? How does your life taste to you? Is it too salty? Is it not salty enough? Is it bland? Are you just trying to blend in with everyone else? Or can you tell yourself that there's a little bit of saltiness there? Hopefully just the right amount. Hopefully the amount that God wants and can use in your little sphere of influence. That's the first question. How does your life taste to you? I think that sometimes people don't even realize that they've lost much of their saltiness. Reminds me of the Old Testament with Samson. The Spirit of God left him and he wist it not, it says in the King James. He wist it not. In other words, he didn't even realize it. The Spirit of God had left. What about your saltiness? What about mine? How does your life taste to you? Second question. How does your life taste to those around you? Now I'm thinking about relatives, friends, church members, you know, people close to you. Listen to this. People who know you and will be honest with you. How does your life taste to others? Is it too strong? You know, it's like that dressing. Wow. One bite is all it took. Woohoo! Wow. Then I talked my wife into tasting it too. She almost spit it out. It was bad. I was really glad I only had a little bit. How does your life taste to those around you? Is it too strong? Or is it not strong enough? You know, it's one thing about a good Christian friend. They'll talk with you. They'll be honest with you. And maybe they'll share some of that with you if you have conversation about it with them. First question again, how does your life taste to you? Second question, how does your life taste to those around you? Here's the third and perhaps most important question. How does your life taste to God? Because if I'm supremely honest, it really doesn't matter all that much what I think or what others think, but it surely does matter what God thinks. How does your life taste to God? Jesus said to his disciples here in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." I can speak for me. I don't want to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Again, I want to finish well. I want to be pleasing to my Lord. And I hope that's your desire as well. Jesus said it, didn't he? Ye are the salt of the earth. Are you willing to take that challenge and live your life for him? Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, and no one looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity that I've had to stand before this congregation and share from this verse today how important it is for all of us to realize that we are the salt of the earth. May we take that as a challenge. May we do our best to live not too salty, that people don't want anything to do with us, that they would in sense spit us out, but not no saltiness at all. That's really bland. Just the right amount, just the amount that you would prescribe. May we take that challenge and live a salty Christian life for you and maintain our savor and be a good influence in this world for right and also to preserve this country that we live in. Bless the invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.